I bring greetings to you this morning, worth the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. God has blessed us. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter I would like to read for the message this morning. I've titled the message, Living for the Moment. Living for the Moment. Here some time ago, my wife and I were sitting in our living room, and all of a sudden she exclaimed that there's a mouse over there by our couch. And it went back under the couch, and so I went out and got a trap and set the trap, baited it with some peanut butter, and the next morning, the mouse was in the trap. Matter of fact, that was the second time that had happened, quite some time earlier, that I had caught one as well. I think it was during the time that I had gone outside that the mouse had gotten a piece of popcorn that must have been dropped down into the couch on the floor, and it was eating that popcorn. And, of course, it had peanut butter from the trap as well. This was a live trap, one of the Victor tin cat traps. And, I was thinking of that, of the last meal that mouse had. Was probably considered a pretty good meal by mouse standards, popcorn and peanut butter. And it was probably, judging by how skinny the mouse was, more likely it was one of the best meals that it had in a while, because it was pretty thin and skinny. And I was thinking of that. That mouse, obviously being an animal, had no rodent. It had no idea, probably, of what the trap was about. It had no way of reasoning what may lie ahead by going into that trap. All it was doing was just living for the moment of getting that peanut butter, getting something to eat. And I was thinking of us as humans. If we knew that it would be our last meal, what would we eat? What would you want? Or would you even want to eat a meal? As I mentioned, the animals don't have, the ability to worry, to reason, to think things through. Have you ever noticed how a dog will lay on the road and will sleep? Can you imagine yourself laying on the road and taking a nap? I don't think I could sleep. But the dog, has no fear because it doesn't know. It doesn't have the ability to think and to reason and to worry about the car coming. All it does is when it wakes up and the horn is blaring and the vehicle's coming at it is, scurry for safety to get out of there. And I guess about the only way, an animal like that could be taught would be by maybe having a close call and maybe a paw pinched or, some kind of pain inflicted to where it realizes that this is not a good place to be. But as humans, we have the ability to think things through, to reason and worry if we want to. Scripture in Job says, Job chapter 20, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his hand reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? We think about the joy of a hypocrite. And when you think about a hypocrite, you think of someone who is intentionally trying to make people believe that he is something that he is not. In other words, a person like that would be living for the moment. In Proverbs 12:19, it says, "A lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." There again, a lying tongue. When you think of someone who is lying, you think of someone who is intentionally speaking an untruth to try to deceive somebody else. And it's not going to last. It's just living for the moment. To try to defend myself or to try to bring something about for myself or to hide something that I have in my life, living for the moment. There is no thought given and reasoned out of eternity and the consequences and the effects of lying or being a hypocrite. Yeah, and we are not animals as people here, so we have the ability to think and to reason and to look at things that we face in life in the light of eternity. You know, we're not stuck with just living for the moment. Let's read here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We go back to verse 4. It is saying that the God of this world, or Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, Satan's desire is that we would live for the moment, that we would make our decisions based on the here and now, instead of looking at eternity and looking at things in the light of the Word of God and in the light of the effect that things are going to have in the future. Satan wants us to just to look at the here and now and live for the moment. But it says in verse 6 that God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God has enlightened us so that we can make intelligent decisions based on the Word of God, based on the truth from God, and based on eternity and the effect that it will have on our lives and the lives of those around us, the decisions that we make. It says the light of a knowledge of the glory of God. And I was thinking of that, you know, of knowledge. In our Sunday school memory verse, we had about understanding, that we should be as men in understanding. And I was, you know, contemplating that, of the thing of knowledge, of understanding, and of wisdom. And I like to think of knowledge as knowing something. And, you know, that is good. We do need to know. But when we just simply know something, it will not prevent us from just simply living in the moment. Just because you know something, you can still choose to live for the moment and make your decisions based on the here and now. But when you have understanding, I think understanding is when you take that knowledge and that knowledge becomes alive within you and you now get it. You now understand it. You grasp it. And then wisdom is when you apply that knowledge, that understanding, and you put it into action. And that is, that wisdom is what enables a person to not live just for the moment, but to live, make decisions based on eternity and based on the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. Going on in verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We need to remember that, you know, the power that we have to make decisions, correct and right decisions, that wisdom, it comes from God. It is not of us, but it comes from God. From being born again, from having our sins washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and having the Spirit of God living within us to direct us, that is wisdom. "We are troubled on every side," in verse 8, "yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice the two words there, temporal and eternal. You know, when we make decisions based on the here and now, we make decisions based on things that are temporal. We are simply living in or for the moment, not necessarily in the moment. We'll get to that in a little later. But when we look at the things which are not seen, the things that are eternal, and we base our decisions on eternity, we are not living for the moment, but we are living for eternity. And it talked about that the life of Jesus might be made manifest or might become evident in our mortal flesh. Brother Nevin talked this morning about who Jesus is and who we believe that Jesus is. That is a good question. So this is saying here that our faith and our belief in who Jesus Christ is should be evident, should be manifest in our body, in our flesh, by the decisions that we make. Not decisions that are just for the here and now, not just living for the moment, but decisions based on eternity, decisions based on what is best and what is God's will, God's best and God's will for my life and for the good of those around us. You know, when you think about things that are temporal and you think about things that are eternal, you know, have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen your soul? Have you ever seen love? Well, I'm sure that we have probably all seen God and love in action. But have you actually physically seen God? Or have you actually physically seen love? Well, I don't know that you can see that. You know, and those are things that are not seen. Your soul. I dare say that none of us have ever seen our soul. We don't know what that looks like. Those are things that are eternal. You know, the things that are temporal. You know, the buildings, the houses that we have, even the property that we have here, and our bodies here, our fleshly bodies, those are things that are temporal. And when we make decisions based on what is best for this body, a lot of times it is simply living for the moment, based on temporal things. Now, granted, we do need to make decisions to eat healthy, to eat food that is good for our body, to exercise, to discipline ourselves. You know, those things are good for our bodies. And it helps us in other areas of our lives. And it says in the next first verse of the next chapter, for we know that if our earthly house is this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So if this body, this earthly house that we see here, if it were dissolved, or if it dies and it's put out there in the cemetery and it decays, he is saying here we know that we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Those, you know, that is something that is eternal. And that could be speaking of probably our soul, the new body that we'll have in heaven. Or it could be talking about the place that God has created for us in heaven. I'm not sure, and it doesn't really matter. But let's make our decisions based on the eternal and not on the temporal. Now let's talk about living in the moment for just a little bit. You know, I'm speaking about living for the moment, and there are those who teach that we need to live in the moment. A little different wording there, and I believe there's some truth to that, of living in the moment. When you think about your past, and you think about all the mistakes that you have made and all the sins you have committed, and you allow that to control your life and to affect the decisions that you make, and a lot of times those will be wrong decisions, then you are living in the past. And when you think about the future and you think about everything that, you know, could happen or might happen in the future, and you worry about that, and you allow that to affect the decisions that you make, then you are living in the future, in that worry. And that's not good either. So the teaching there that we should live in the moment, in that sense, is correct. We should live for the moment. And it, really, if you think about it, the only life that we have available to do anything is this moment. And now it's that moment. And now it's that moment. I mean, each moment as it goes, that is the only opportunity that you have to act and to do something in life. You can't do anything other than, I mean, in the past, if you have made mistakes, yes, you can try to make restitution and be repentant for that. You can't do a whole lot about the future. You can try to prepare for that. But really, the only time that you have to act and do something is now, in this moment. So, you know, yes, there is a certain amount of truth to that. But living for the moment, that is where we make decisions based on the here and now, and we don't give recognition to past mistakes, and we learn from that, and we don't give recognition to eternity and to who God, who Jesus Christ is, and we make decisions based on that and on the truth of God's word. But we just live for what is good for me here and now. And basically, we'd be living like an animal if we did it that way. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So we look at that verse. We can't change the past, other than, as I mentioned, repent of that and, you know, be sorry for that. We can't control the future. So God is giving us a choice here in this moment, and we can choose life in this moment. And we do that by looking at who God is, looking at the truth of his word, who Jesus Christ is, and looking at eternity and making our decisions based on truth in an intelligent way. And you think about, you know, living for the moment, living like an animal, if you will. How much pleasure would it take for you in this life to make it worth living your life just for the moment? You know, when you think about that book that you know does not honor God, you can read that book, or you can watch that movie. You can drink that wine, you can smoke that cigarette, you can take that dope, you can commit that fornication, you can indulge in the lust of the flesh, you can take that job that doesn't honor God, you can make that money, you can buy that property, or that vehicle, or that build that house, you can withhold the tithe, the money that belongs to God, you can make that dress just the way you want it, you can buy those shoes, you can style that hair. You know, you can pull the cat's tail. You can mock and tease that other person until he cries. You can do all that. But there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 11:9 that says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." And he goes on in the next chapter and he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You know, and those things that I mentioned there aren't necessarily all wrong. There are things that, I mean, like taking a job, building a house, you know, buying a property. Those are things that we need. I mean, we need food and shelter and clothing. But when we do that, and we do it for ourselves, in just living for the moment, not considering, you know, really, does this honor God, this decision that I'm making? And we just live for the moment. We just live what's good for me here and now, and no consideration of eternity. You know, that does not honor God. You know, living for the moment is a little like teasing a puppy until it comes to the point where it just hates you. And then when that puppy grows up and it becomes a dog and you come by, it remembers that and it turns around and it attacks you. So was the fun of teasing that puppy worth the pain of the bite of the dog? And absolutely not. When you think about it, in life, is a minute, an hour, a week, a month, or even a lifetime of living for the moment worth an eternity of torment in hell? You know, when you think about that, just like the mouse, you know, it was living for the moment. It gave no consideration whatsoever, probably, to the fact that that trap might trap the mouse. So when you and I, when we just live for the moment and we go after that last meal, the here and now, we're going to get caught in Satan's trap to our own destruction. So is it worth it? Nevin read that scripture this morning about what is a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit does a man get from that? What is his gain? It definitely is not worth it. You know, I think about men like Joseph. You know, when he fled from Potiphar's wife, Joseph was not living for the moment. But he made his decision based on the Word of God, based on eternity. When you think about Jesus, it says that he was as a lamb led to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth, quoting out of Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus, when he did that, when he chose to not deliver himself from that cross and that crucifixion on the cross, he was not living for the moment. But he was looking ahead to my sin and to your sin. I'd like to read out of Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of Moses, in verse 24 through 27. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So Moses chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for the moment. You know, when you think about a moment, we think about just a little blip of time. But really, when we look at a moment in the light of God's word, we have to consider that as a lifetime. So Moses chose to suffer with the people of God for a lifetime rather than to enjoy. Maybe I said that wrong. He says he's choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he chose to suffer that affliction for a whole lifetime. And even rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a whole lifetime, because he was looking at eternity and at how short life is in comparison with eternity. He was looking at truth of God's word. In James chapter 4, speaking of what life is, in verses 13 through 17 it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So here the word of God is telling us that our life is just like a vapor, a little mist that is here and then a little later it's gone. So yes, our life, a whole lifetime, even if you live to be 80 years old, you know, from 20 to 80, or from 15 to 80, you know, 60 or 65 years, from 40 to 80, 40 years, it's just a vapor. And when you compare that with eternity, it's just a moment. So the question to us is, are we living for the moment, even for the lifetime of pleasure, or are we living for eternity and making our decisions based on that? 1 Peter 1, 24, in the first part of 25, it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." So again, along with 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, the flesh, the body that we have here this morning, it's as grass, it's going to decay. But the word of the Lord, the truth of God, it says it endureth forever, temporal and eternal. What is my value this morning? What are my decisions based on, temporal or eternal? For the moment or for eternity? You know, God has called us to decide, to make a choice. God gave us choice. He gave us that ability above the animals to think, to reason, and to look at it intelligently. And he is calling us this morning to choose life. He is wanting us to decide for Christ. He wants us to abide in Christ, to live for him. And as Jesus said, that without me, ye can do nothing. So that is my desire for each one of us, that we grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we love him with everything we've got. And that we make our decisions for this moment that we have based on that. You know, how does Jesus look at that? What is the will of Jesus Christ for my life in this decision that I'm faced with? Is it going to honor God? Is it going to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just a selfish thing that I want for myself? Does it help those and encourage those around me? Or does it just lift up myself? Those are questions I believe that God is wanting us to look at in life. in the decisions that we make, whether it's, you know, in how we order our homes and how we spend our money, the vehicles that we drive, the trips that we take, the things that we do. God is wanting us to look at that. Is it just for the moment, or is it glorifying God? Let's kneel for prayer.